Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to the Valeura Holding AG Half Year Results 2013 conference call. I'm Selena, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Rolando Benedik, CEO and Chairman, and Mr. Michael Müller, CFO of Valeura Holding AG. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the conference call of Valeura Holding. Together with me is our CFO, Michael Müller. Please let me first summarize the highlight of the first half year before I provide you the outlook for the rest of the year. Afterwards, Mr. Müller will guide you through the most important figures of the company. The Valeura Group performed well during the first six months of 2013 and generated also through acquisition external sales, which are +7.8% higher than in the same period of 2012. At the EBIT level, we performed by 34%. This is excluding the IAS one-off. The development in cash flow is very encouraging. We increased the cash flow from operative activities by 37 million. At the same time, the free cash flow improved by impressive 54 million compared with 2012. Through optimization within our capital structures, the equity cover enhanced by more than 8 percentage points to 44%. Within the business, Digital Brezel-König generated with 11% the highest EBIT margin. Moreover, due to the historical seasonality, the profitability should further improve in the H2. Retail Switzerland made progress through the focus on foods and service in the point of sales. The integration of convenience concept is more challenging than we expected. Overall, we see good potential within the network in the coming years. Division Service generated better than expected results. The downturn in the price market accumulated in H1 is significantly lower than we anticipated. Overall, it is too early to see this as a constant change in the market trend. At Valeura Trade, the first measures were introduced. Nevertheless, we need to make further effort to improve the profitability. Now, let me quickly guide you through the outlook for the rest of the year. Now, Valeura has a network of more than 3,000 small outlet retail units in Switzerland, Germany, Luxembourg, and Austria. We achieved our objectives and becoming the largest micro-retailer in German-speaking Europe. The priority is to optimize the individual formats and to extend their product range with new offering in order to improve the profitability. The rollout of the modernized key kiosk concept will continue in Switzerland. In Germany, the focus will be on integrating convenience concept and in particular, on the challenging task of transforming the various retail formats of the network. At Digital Brezel-König, Valeura intend to expand the outlet network and to exploit the synergies between this unit and the rest of the group. At Valeura Services, negotiation will be held with potential purchaser and business partner over the next few weeks. The goal is to hand over control of the division's activities. Valeura Trade is concentrating on improving its profitability by further optimizing its cost structures. The division is also working on streamlining its existing business portfolio, acquiring new principals in niche markets, and developing new alternative distribution channels. We are convinced that the initiative will sustainably improvement our earning. We confirm our projections to achieve an operating profit of some 75 million for 2013, with a further 5 million-10 million in positive one-off effect. Now, I would like to hand over to Michael to go through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, also from my side. I assume that all of you have seen already our investor presentation. Therefore, I only quickly guide you through to the key topics in our presentation, and I would like to start on page number 5 with the key financial metrics for the first 6 months of this year. As Mr. Benedict already highlighted, the first 6 months have, compared to last year, very much been influenced by the integration of the new businesses we acquired last year, mainly the Spretzelkönig and Convenience Concept, the German retail format, but also by the divestiture of our Austrian service activities and the wholesale activities in Switzerland. Overall, the external sales grew by almost 8% to a level of 1.7 billion. On a gross profit level, we increased the gross profit by 14%. We substantially increased our gross profit margin as well. This is also related to the mix effect from the new businesses. And on a EBIT level, we achieved 33.8 million, which is also a substantial increase in the EBIT margin, definitely also related to the mix, improved mix due to the acquisition of Dietz Brezelkönig, which realizes significant higher EBIT margins than the rest of our business. On the next page, in line with the presentation we have given at the annual results conference, we break down one-off effects in the reported result of 33.8 million. There are two relevant one-off effects that have to be considered. One effect is the IAS 19 restatement according to the new IFRS accounting standards. The restated half-year result last year is 18 million, comparable with this year's reported figure, without IAS 19 effect of 9.7 million of 24 million. So from a pure operating profit point of view, we increased our EBIT by 34%. This excludes a positive 3.2 million effect in the last year from our activities with the football picture cards that we sell mostly through our channel in Austria, or sold mostly through our channel in Austria last year. On a net profit level, we achieved also a very significant increase to a group net profit of 25.8 million, which is an increase of almost 125%. The result has been also here influenced by the one-off effect from IAS 19 of positive 9.7 million. But at the same time, we had a higher financing costs. We are now at the level of 9.3 million. The increase is mainly related to the higher leverage that we have on our balance sheet now, mainly to finance the acquisitions from Dietz Brezelkönig and Convenience Concept. On page number 8, the key balance sheet metrics, probably most importantly, you see that due to the placement of a perpetual hybrid bond in the Swiss capital market, we decreased our leverage ratio compared to 31st of December 2012 quite significantly. We are now below 2x net debt EBITDA. The perpetual hybrid bond is accounted in the shareholders' equity. Therefore, shareholders' equity improved by almost 23% to a level of 708 million, which leaves us with the equity ratio and equity cover of 44%, which is an increase of little over 8% compared to year-end last year. I quickly talk you through now the divisional results, starting on page number 9. Important here, the IAS 19 effect of positive 9.7 million has been allocated to divisions and booked in the divisions. Therefore, these results include also certain one-off effects. In Valora Retail, we realized the EBIT of 15.8 million, which is a quite substantial increase of almost 54%. External sales have been growing also through to the acquisitions in Germany by 11.5% compared to last year. The acquisition convenience concept has been consolidated last year as of April 1st. On page number 10, you see the effect from convenience concept on external sales level quite nicely. We increased our external sales by 37% in Germany, but also overall in terms of net revenue, we increased net revenues in the division by 2%. As a reminder here, the difference between the net revenues in the external sales are relevant in convenience concept because this is mainly a franchise business. Therefore, the external sales include the sales actually at the point of sales, whereas the net revenues reflect the franchise income only. On page number 11, the performance of the Ditch Pretzel König, that business that we acquired end of last year, was very promising in the first half year of this year. We also maintain a very positive outlook for the full year 2013. We realized in this business an EBIT of 10.2 million in the first 6 months of this year and an EBITDA of 17.3, which leaves us with an EBITDA margin of 18.6% in the divisional reporting in our group. On page number 12, the Valora service business has been benefiting from a lower than expected deterioration in the Swiss print media market. It has been also quite substantially affected by the divestiture of the Austrian wholesale, Austrian service business and the Swiss wholesale business that we divested at the beginning of this year and has been deconsolidated as of beginning of or mid-March this year. Therefore, on a comparable level in the upper left of the chart on page 12, you see we actually adjusted for these divestitures. We compare 145 million in net revenues to 140 million for the first 6 months this year, which is a net decrease in net revenues of only 3.4%, which is lower than expected. As I said, first of all, because the print media market has been volume-wise deteriorating at a lower level than what we anticipated, but also because we increased and grew our third-party logistics service business, the Nilo business, quite successfully in the first 6 months of this year. On an EBIT level, however, the division has experienced a decrease by almost 22% to a level of 5.8 million. On page number 13, the trade division, as you can see in terms of net revenue, has been growing on a moderate level by 3.4 million. We saw some more significant growth in the Nordics, mainly in the classic category. However, the gross profit margin further declined. We commented already in the past that this unsatisfying situation has been addressed. We operate here in a very challenging market environment. There have been several cost measures already been implemented starting last end of last year. We also started to optimize our portfolio. We acquired some smaller principals with a more healthy margin in the classic business, and we terminated some selected contracts with large principals in the classic business as well. This will have an effect over the coming months on the overall division. The new categories, the development there is still on track. We're still satisfied with the development in the businesses that we acquired over the previous years in that division. Overall, I will come to the strategic measures a little later in the presentation, but it's clear that further measures to reposition the division will be required. On page number 14, in terms of the overall group cash flow, you see some significant improvements in the key components. On a cash flow from operations level, we generated 16.6 million positive cash flow in the first 6 months. This compares with a negative almost 21 million in last year first 6 months, and also on a free cash flow basis, we realized a very small negative cash flow of only 1.5 million in the first half year, compared with a negative almost 57 million cash flow in the same period last year. Here, very important to remind yourself of the seasonalities in our business overall. We are satisfied with the development of our cash flow. On the following pages, I quickly guide you through now to the strategic measures and update along the divisions. On page number 16, we provide you with a little bit more detailed overview about the store refurbishment program in Germany, both in the convenience area with the service store DBs, but also in the kiosk space. In general, the integration of convenience concept required quite considerable effort in the first 6 months of this year, both on a pure operational business level in the administration of the newly acquired business last year. We are still in the phase of implementing our standard procedures and processes that we operate our business here in Switzerland, in Germany. I'd like to remind you that we experienced significant growth last year in terms of number of outlets and POS that are operated out of Hamburg in that division, and therefore we're still in the phase of improving the operational performance mainly in our back office and administration. At the same time, as part of the refurbishment program, we have several effects from the takeover of franchise outlets that we, for a limited time, operate ourselves, typically during the refurbishment process, and that we will hand over to a new franchisee after the refurbishment. In Switzerland, as you probably all are aware, we are in the middle of our refurbishment program at the kiosks. Main focus here is to increase the share of the food as part of the total sales. What we illustrate here on page 17 is basically one store that has been opened in earlier this year in February. You see that we actually succeeded to increase the share of the food sales in overall sales quite substantially. We doubled, for example, in that specific store, the cooling area. We introduced coffee and bakery products in that store, and at the same time reduced our shelf space that is allocated to print media by roughly 30%, and this resulted in the quite substantial change in the sales mix in that store, where specifically the food segment grew from 26% as percent of total sales last year, year-to-date June, to 32% year-to-date June this year, on the basis of actually roughly 5 months of operations after the refurbishment. So this leaves you with an increase of more than 20, almost 25% of sales of food product in that specific location. Therefore, we're quite happy overall with that program. And so far, our main assumptions have been confirmed. We will continue with that program, obviously, over the coming months and years, and we expect that we will complete the refurbishment of roughly 100 outlets by the end of the year. On page 18, just a few comments on Deutsche Brezelkönig. We're very happy with development in the first half year. We are on track in terms of the operational back office integration. In terms of growth, we achieved like-for-like growth in the existing stores, but we also opened new stores successfully. We have a promising pipeline of new stores that will open over the coming months. At the same time, mainly in Germany, we also closed some selected outlets in order to optimize our network. On page 19, Valora Services, we spent a considerable time and energy in the first months on the preparation of the carve-out as part of the assessment of all strategic options that we announced in earlier this year. We are now just ahead of the next phase where we will start detailed discussions with potential buyers and business partners, and we will expect that these discussions will lead to detailed negotiations over the coming weeks and months. Important is that the clear objective that has been stated by the Board of Directors and confirmed by the Board of Directors is to basically hand over control of that business, be it in a partnership or to a buyer of the full business area. I mentioned on page 20 Valora Trade already. Important here is to understand that further measures to improve the profitability are required. We already identified these measures. It will be along both lines. On one hand, on the cost, we will further reduce our operational expenses across our network, and we will further streamline our portfolio. We will focus, as we discussed and announced already earlier this year, on more small and medium-sized principals. We will terminate further contracts with larger sales and typically smaller profitability for us, in order to increase the overall gross margin that we can generate in that business. We expect that over the coming weeks and months, these measures will start to materialize, and therefore we will we expect that with these further measures, we can actually improve the profitability as required. Mr. Benedict already talked you through the outlook for the coming 6 months, and therefore I suggest we hand over to you now for the Q&A.
The first question comes from Mrs. Anna Patrice from Berenberg Bank. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hello. This is Anna Patrice from Berenberg. Thank you for the presentation. A couple of questions from my side. First, I wanted to know more about the challenges you were talking about in regard to convenience concept. So if you could give more flavor what's going on there. Second question on the one-offs. So IAS 19, you said it's already roughly 10 million in the first half of the year. For the full year, you guide between 5 and 10 million. So does it mean that in the second half, it can be even negative one-off? And then if you could provide the split of these one-offs that you had in the first half of the year for the divisions, how the divisional EBIT was affected. And then the last question on Valoro Trade, why the classic categories growth outpaced the new categories? And was that the reason why the gross margin declined? Or if you can comment a bit more on the product mix and what were the growth drivers and on the gross margin? Oh, sorry, and the last question on the ditch. Would it be possible to compare how was that in the first half of the last year? So if we look at the first half of last year, sales, gross profit, EBITDA, and EBIT for ditch. Thank you.
For convenience concept, we have some problems in the integration, and special to the evolution of the point of sales. We have had long discussions with Deutsche Bahn to find the solution to work together, and that we lost some time and some money to. And we are doing now a product range adjustment. It will be now at the end of this adjustment, and all the new articles that we have chosen will go in sales in the next months. After we have, we think that we can open 20 new ZC in annually, to rebuild the new location, and this is a little bit less than we have think 2 years ago when we take over CC. But in all the goals that we have from 12 to 20 million EBITDA, we are sure that we can achieve that in 2015, that all other parameters are in order with our business plan.
So maybe I comment on your second question regarding the one-off from IAS 19. You've been absolutely correct in saying that there are actually potential negative effects in the second half year. That's actually what we expect. So it's maybe a little confusing, but what we report under IAS 19 in the first half of year in terms of 9.7 million, potentially we will see a negative effect according to the new IFRS accounting standard in the second half. In that regard, it's important to understand that the positive 9.7 million effect is mainly related to a change in the Umwandlungssatz in the conversion rate, the English word that I lost, thank you, Mladen, in the conversion rate of the in the pension accounting. And therefore, you can expect that we actually confirm our guidance of the 5 to 10 million one-off effect, whereof the IAS 19 net effect, including the change in the conversion rate, is actually included. In terms of your questions regarding DEITCH, maybe you can repeat that question again.
Can we go back first to the IAS 19? Could you provide the split by division? Because you mentioned that in Valor Retail, in the EBIT, there was one off, but you didn't provide exactly the figure. I didn't heard how much it was one off. So if you could go by division and say how much it was affected from
you're absolutely right. I missed this one. Actually, in terms of divisional breakdown, as I said, we broke down the 9.7 to the separate divisions. It's related to our Swiss employees, so the majority of the effect is actually in retail with a positive 6.8 million this year, isolated from IAS 19. I just would like to remind you that obviously IAS 19 is not the only one-off effect that we have in our first 6 months' results. We obviously had also some, be it positive or negative, one-off effects in the first 6 months that we do not break out separately, both this year but also to a substantial part last year. And therefore, it would be a little bit too simple to now just deduct the 6.8 million from the this year reported number to compare it to the last year 6 months results, because this is blurred by the fact that we had in both periods also other one-off effects, as mentioned, positive and negative, that blur a little bit the actual conclusion in terms of how the retail business performed. The rest of the 9.7 million is actually mostly accounted in corporate, on a corporate level, with smaller effects in trade and services.
Thank you. And what were the major other one-offs apart from IAS 19?
I think we have been very detailed at the year end in terms of how we report one-offs. I'm quite sure we will do the same at the year end, but we're actually not prepared now to go into the very details of all these other one-off effects that have been affecting the result last year and this year. I think one of the one-off effects you've seen on one of the previous pages in the presentations, for example, the football pictures, Panini pictures, that have a certain effect also on the retail results in Switzerland, for example. But as you can assume, that there is a large number of one-off effects that affect both periods, and they affect these periods, the first 6 months, much more significantly, because due to the seasonality, obviously we expect a quite substantial increase in absolute profitability in the second half year, and then the one-off effects are less relevant.
Okay, so just to make it clear, the 5 to 10 million one-offs that you expect for the full year, that includes all the one-offs, right?
Yes, this includes what we guided as typical one-off, which is mostly related to ISI.
Okay. And 9.7 million in the first half, it's also all the one-offs, or it's only IAS 19?
This is only IAS 19.
Okay. And
but all the IAS 19 effects. I mean, also within IAS 19, there is a number of effects, and that's why
there have been
all the positive effects have been accounted in the first half. Some additional negative will be accounted in the next half year.
Okay, understood. Regarding the ditch, the question was if you can provide the pro forma numbers for the first half of the last year so that we can compare, understand the development of this division. So, if you look at the first half of last year, what were the sales, gross profit, EBITDA, and EBIT?
Clearly understood your question. I think we said already before or in previous conference calls and discussions that we do not provide detailed figures from previous years. Simple reason for that is obviously because these numbers have been provided under different accounting standards. Therefore, it would be hard to compare, especially EBIT numbers, where you have the significant impact, for example, on depreciations if you change to IFRS accounting. I think what you can compare is obviously the Q4. There you have a certain indication in terms of profitability, what we expect for the Q4 this year. And I can definitely confirm that we had a positive momentum on all line items you mentioned, in terms of like for like within retail and also in terms of the overall net revenue that we generate in the retail part of the Dietz Pretzel König business.
And in terms of profitability, can we assume that it was pretty much stable margins, or were there some issues? Some pre-start expenses, etc.
No, I mean, overall, as I said, within retail, we didn't have any issues at all. What is probably a little confusing, we got these questions already before today, is in terms of the absolute margin we report in the division. This is slightly below of the figures we provided previously, but this should not confuse you too much in terms that we use in the divisional accounting also group cost allocations that are allocated according our internal standards, which can affect, obviously, especially the first half year profitability quite substantially. Plus, as I said, we had small changes in terms of the depreciation or the accounting for depreciation, which affect that part of the business. But overall, you always have to account for the seasonality in these businesses, and I mean all of our businesses actually. We have a certain fixed cost level, and the strongest months in all of our businesses are still ahead of us, or at least ahead of the half-year result. Dietz Pretzel König, just to give you an indication, has roughly a breakdown of the EBIT on an EBIT level or EBITDA level, seasonality of 40 to 45% for the first half year and 55 to 60% in the second half. This is already quite substantially a lower seasonality than what we see in all our other businesses. But having said that, there are still quite some items that we typically are, in terms of phasing, only able to book in the second half year and will affect also the overall profitability in this division additionally.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And then the last question was on Valoro Trade. Why the classic categories growth outpaced the new categories? Because I thought that you're focusing more on the new categories. And if you can explain a bit more why the gross margin declined and the impact on overall profitability.
Right. So in terms of the growth, I think that the answer is quite simple. We have in the new categories, we have a business which has a very high seasonality. So all the cosmetic business, as you can imagine, as you probably know from typically luxury retailer, has a very strong Q4. So in that part of the business, we see actually the by far the strongest seasonality. Therefore, the actual growth you can expect in that part of the business will materialize in the second half of the year. Secondly, in terms of overall gross margin, as I said, it's very unsatisfying the situation that we had a further deterioration. This is mainly related to the classic business. So we are still struggling with some of the principles in terms of profitability, and therefore we also started to terminate some of the contracts with these principles, but this does not materialize within a couple of weeks or months. This is actually more like a 6 to 9, in some situations, rather 12-month process.
And what has boosted the growth over there, like the classic categories with the old categories, where the growth was so strong?
Well, if you compare it with previous year, the growth was actually rather moderate and strong. But it's absolutely right what you say. We saw some growth in the classic categories. This is mainly related to some of the contracts we acquired last year. Some of them, let's call it positive contracts for us. So they start now to bring sales in. We additionally also acquired some smaller principals within one specific situation in Finland had quite a strong impact on the overall business.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Jean-François Mimandi from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. A few ones. It doesn't make it very helpful that you don't provide profitability for Ditch. Just can we assume it's a normal one, or did you do some specific investments that have been decreasing the margins in H1, or it's just normal course of business in your view? The second one is on net working capital. I still see an outflow. Can you give a bit guidance or where you would like to be at the end of the year on net working capital? To what is it due? I understood that you put a very huge effort on free cash flow. And one on convenience concept as well. You say that it's lower than expected in your press release. Seems the refurbishments will take a bit longer than expected. Does that impact the 2015 goal of 100 million EBIT there, or it's completely in line? And then I'll jump back on the queue for the next ones.
Okay. Maybe I start on the Ditch profitability. I mean, I think we've been very clear in disclosing the Ditch profitability in terms that you see that we generated 10.2 million, which is an 11% EBIT margin. Now, what we said in previous presentations is that we expect on an EBIT margin level, 14% EBIT margin. And that's why I commented on the difference in a way that, first of all, you have also within Ditch Pretzelkönig, you have a certain seasonality effect. Secondly, we have certain certain effects in terms of the pure divisional accounting in if we, for example, change group cost allocations between divisions. This has not been fully reflected in these 14%. And last but not least, there were some changes in the depreciation. Now, in terms of the operational impact on the margin, the only element I referred to was the closing of some stores and reopening of some stores at new, more attractive locations in Germany. This always has a small impact on the profitability as well. But overall, the actual retail part of the business has been performing actually above our expectation. We had a slight deterioration in the margin in the wholesaling activities within Ditch, mainly because there was some price pressure in the market. There we did not fully meet our expectations, and this also has a impact, obviously, on the overall EBIT margin. But important, I got this question on the other conference call earlier today, you should not expect that we will maintain a isolated guidance of 14% in a division on a divisional accounting level. The margin we expect will improve over the in the full year accounts over the 11%, but we do not actually expect in our internal guidance to meet fully the 14% on a divisional accounting level, including all the cost allocations within the group.
Okay, so it's just business as usual, because now it's also looking at your Q4, you had higher margins, so it was just to see that, but very helpful, thanks on that one.
And in terms of net working capital, yes, there have been some outflows. I mean, and also I can confirm we still focus very much on the free cash flow development within the group. As you can imagine, some of the net working capital improvement measures, they also take quite some time to implement. We made some progress already. We will make further progress in the next 6 months. But the biggest setback we had in terms of net working capital development in the first 6 months was actually related to the trade business. The reason for that is some of the large principals we deal with are actually also optimizing their net working capital in a way that they push a lot of inventory towards us. And in order to protect margins, we had to accept higher inventories as of the actual half-year date. Which is very unpleasant overall as a development. But as you can see also in other situations and what you've probably seen in some of the press comments, some of our trade partners like Procter & Gamble made, this is kind of an industry trend, and this is another reason why we very carefully now assess the cooperation and the our business relationship with some of these large principals, and intend to rather focus on smaller principals with a different inventory and net working capital policy.
Sure. Just as you touch on that, there was another question I wanted to keep for later, but if we can jump on that. Could you comment on the volume of sales that you are terminating in trade, as you commented before, in H2, and what effect on net working capital it should have on a quantified basis?
No, we don't give any guidance in terms of how much of the business we will terminate. You can expect that in the full year we will be a little bit more specific, but in a lot of situations we're in the middle of the negotiations and it would be a little bit too early to comment on that. In terms of network and capital, I think what you can expect is definitely an over-proportional effect over the time. Networking capital and inventory is a very important metric in terms of the assessment of the profitability of an account. I think we had in our last conversations, we touched already on the fact that we actually have a return on capital employed logic for each of the individual principles implemented, and on that basis we will assess the principle. So even if a principle is kind of profitable for us but expects that we take over too much inventory, we are either renegotiating the contract or potentially even terminate the contract. But we give no guidance at for the time being. Also to remind you, it will take a couple of months to see the full effect because these contracts are not terminated overnight, but this is rather a 6 to 9 or 9 to 12 months process.
Okay, so no effect on full year on sales at least.
That's not what I said, but okay. I don't give a guidance.
I tried, sorry.
So, Mr. Benedict, would you comment on convenience concept?
I think I answered before, but I can repeat without problem. We are sure that we will achieve our targets for 2015. We have in 2030 some problem in the discussion with the Deutsche Bahn and with the sellers, Lakerland, but everything are now since 1 to 3 months, everything is okay. We do a roll out now from the new assortment. We are doing free tests with Deutsche Bahn, with our concept for DB stores, and I am sure that we will go on the right direction. And we see the first result this last week, and we are very confident that we achieve this goal that we have fixed when we take over CC.
Okay, thank you.
Please.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Jean-François Mimondi from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, sorry, I have one more on corporate EBIT. Obviously, a big improvement there. Is it structural or is it seasonal, this improvement in corporate EBIT that you had?
Maybe I have to make sure that I understand the question correctly. I mean,
your corporate EBIT is much better than last year. Is it an effect of one-offs? Is it that you reclassified some activities, as it's written in your press release? Or is it that you made some significant improvement in the underlying corporate line?
I think it's a combination of all of the above, but mostly, I mean, the corporate EBIT has been impacted also by the IAS 19 effect that we broke out in our investor presentation. This is the 9.7 million. So this is by far the biggest isolated one-off effect. I said earlier in answering Anna's question that we had also other one-off effects, as we have, to be fair, all the years, and which are typical for a retail business, but we don't break them out separately. But on top of that, we had also an improvement in some of the divisions in terms of the profitability, and at the same time, obviously, also some rather setbacks in terms of trade, but also services, as continues to overall reduce the contribution in terms of EBIT, despite the fact it has been better than expected overall print media environment.
I think there's a misunderstanding. It's on the elimination, i.e. on the corporate line, the minus 3.5 million, and this year zero. It's just this one.
Sorry.
Yeah, but no, not my bad, sorry.
So a very stupid answer to a smart question. I mean, the biggest impact there is, yes, there have been some reclassifications.
Okay.
Yes. So we changed slightly the cost allocation within the group. Most dramatically is that we have logistics allocated to services, and we integrated the IT and the shared service center within retail. You find a comment to that in our half-year report, and this has obviously the biggest impact on corporate.
And going on, let's say, as far as it can be forecasted, is a break-even level on that line a good indication?
Excluding one-off, you cannot expect there major changes, yes? I mean, we are operating there on a stable level. Some of the one-offs will be accounted on that level.
Okay, perfect. No, much easier. Sorry for the confusion.
No, sorry. I didn't got the question right in the first place.
That's fine. Thank you for your answers. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Jean-François.
Gentlemen, that was the last question.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your question and your attention. See you very soon. Bye-bye. Have a nice evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your line. Goodbye.